Let's all stand as we sing number 394, The Solid Rock. Let's stand as we sing 394.
Oh,
let's stand as we sing number 447, Higher Ground. Let's stand as we sing number 447.
Glad that you're here today. Let me encourage you today, don't forget about tonight. We're going to have Brother Justin Heath back, one of our boys that grew up here at Bethel, saved here, called to preach. And he'll be preaching tonight, singing tonight. We're going to put the little brown box out. If you'd like to drop a card in there or a little gift or something to be an encouragement to him. And we're going to give him a gift, of course, from the church. We're also going to give a gift to Mississauga International Baptist Church to help with their building fund. They're about to break ground on a brand new building, so we want to be a blessing and a help to them in that way. So we're going to have him come back, share a little bit about that building program and what they're doing in Mississauga. Mississauga is one of the most exciting churches in Canada as far as growth and seeing souls saved. It's really, Brother Thiessen's doing a fantastic job. Brother Heath's doing a great job there. You'll want to be here tonight. Then there's going to be an after-church fellowship, and you'll get to fellowship with the Heaths a little bit, and I know that'll be a blessing to you. Don't forget, this Wednesday night, Brother Brad Vogel's going to be preaching, and then he's going off for a couple months this summer to help with a church planter over in Ridgetown, Ontario, Brother Mike Wood, and so we're thankful for that. And then this summer, you're going to hear from some of our college students, and let me encourage you, if you have a Sunday school class, use these young people in your classes while they're home. If it's special music, if you want Leah to give a testimony, play a flute, whatever, we got boys that can sing and preach, and so use them this summer. Not only will it be a blessing to you, it gives them good experience, and that's what we're here for, to help them and train them. And so make sure you're using our young people this summer while they're home. Paul's going to preach in a couple weeks for us as well, and we're working out a date on that. And so just encourage them. And let me say this, if one of our young men get up and preach and they stumble around, go over and shake their hand, say, "You did a great job." All right? Just encourage them in the Lord. Mrs. Garland, the first time I ever preached, I preached 12 minutes, everything I knew. And Mrs. Garland came to me after, and she shook my hand. And she says, I'd never heard this before, and told me something she learned. And boy, that ever encouraged a young preacher. And so you can be an encouragement, and you can be a help to our young people this summer. A couple birthdays this week. Carrie Baker and Claire Whitehead tomorrow. They share a birthday, not the same year, but they share a birthday. And so they have a birthday tomorrow. Roy McMahon. I don't see the McMahons here this morning. He's on Tuesday. You might want to give him a call and bless him and encourage him. He's having a birthday on Tuesday. Now, here we had an anniversary yesterday. Bill and Jane Felder. Congratulations. Now, Bill, don't look at your wife. How many years? Good. Mrs. Felder, how many years? They're the same. Good. Amen. You just got some brownie points, Brother Felder. That's fantastic. Praise the Lord. 42 years. Congratulations. That's great. So 1972. And praise the Lord for that. Thank you for another good example. I love long marriages. That's an example in our church, and we need to recognize that. So congratulations to you folks. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing as our ushers come for this morning's offering. And Brother John Kirkwood, when you reach your place, would you bow and lead us in prayer this morning, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we can come and gather in your house with the blessing of the Sunday school hour and the word that went forward to the boys and girls. We pray for the pastor as he preaches here now and bless this offering for the work here at home and the missionary support around the world. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated.
Tim, I want to recognize a couple new members into the church this morning. We're so thankful for the Wilbanks family, and I'm just going to have them stand. But Will says, I don't really want to come down to the front, so we're going to have him stand. Will was just baptized a few weeks ago and accepted Christ as his Savior in his home, and we had a wonderful time over there with them, and he accepted Christ and was baptized, and so he's joining us this morning by baptism. Jennifer is his mom. Jennifer was baptized by Dr. Strachan way back in 1976. And I got away from church for a little while, but about 3 or 4 months ago now, she started coming back to church and got excited about the Lord again. And so she came to me a couple weeks ago and asked if she could join when her son joined. And so she's coming by restoration today. We're so thankful for these folks and so glad that they're joining our church today. You may be seated. Will sure doesn't like people looking at him. I know how that feels sometimes. And so we want you to encourage you folks that this is your church family. And we want to be in prayer for you and help you and bear your burdens in any way that we can, and we hope that you'll pray for us and encourage us as well. So welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. We're so thankful that you're a part of us today. Let's welcome them this morning with a hearty amen. 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 We're glad you're here. Brother Smith, you come.
All right, let's stand one more time as we sing number 473, Where He Leads, I'll Follow. Number 473.
Thank you.
special from the Bakers and Mrs. Took.
Thank you. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Please turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 this morning. We're just going to read there, and there will be in other parts of the Bible. Mark chapter 5. All right. I was handed this morning, and I'd like to announce it because I'm going to forget if I leave it till after the service. Ladies Jubilee 2014. Kitchener Baptist Church is hosting a Ladies' Jubilee on Saturday, June the 14th, 2014, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and lunch is provided. There is a cost, but this is something I think you'll really be interested in. Ladies, if you'd like to go to this, the guest speaker is Mrs. Eunice Van Bergen. Her husband, Josh Van Bergen, is on staff at Faithway Baptist Church. But then the intriguing part here is there's a testimony by Miss Casey Fett. And so I don't imagine our bus is big enough to hold all the ladies that want to go and support Casey in this. And so we really need to share the word and pass the word and let my wife know if you're interested. And we'll see if we have enough that we'll take a bus up there. And let's be an encouragement. Let's support Casey. I think it's the first time she's probably spoken in a ladies' meeting like this. And so she'll be nervous, so you need to pray for her. But that's going to be a good time for you ladies. And so that's Saturday, June the 14th. And I know you won't want to miss that. Kitchener Baptist Church, there's more information on their website, kitchenerbaptist.org, or .org, I guess. And there's going to be some flyers out in the hallway and those little plastic inserts. So you'll have a look at those. And ladies, we'll make sure that's in the bulletin for next week. And so you want to be a part of that.
Love Works has been picking up steam this week, and we've been excited to be able to go out on Thursday night. Tuesday night, we got rained out, but on Thursday night, we were able to go to the ballpark and the soccer fields and hand out about 200 bottles of water to people. Even on a cool night like that, we were able to give out 200 bottles with invitations to our picnic, and we talked to a few people and had a good time, and it was received well. Some, of course, were cold, and they weren't interested, but they were friendly. Nobody got angry. Nobody got upset. And so let me encourage you, come out this week. There's some more opportunities in your bulletin. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. we're going to one of the seniors' buildings in town, and we're hanging. The superintendent's actually going with us door to door, so that we don't. She says, "I don't want you to get in any trouble, so I'm going to go with you." And so we're going to go door to door and hang a bag on each door with an invitation to the seniors' coffee hour and some other things that are going on in our church, and offer to help in their home. And anyway, we've already answered a call like that. We already got a call that said, "Could I have somebody help me with some things?" And so Brother Baker and I went over this week, and we put an air conditioner in and did some things like that for a lady. And so that's what it's all about. And so we're going to have more opportunities like that coming up in the next few weeks. So get busy. There's something you can do. Thank you for getting involved with the bags already for our bus families and our Master Clubs ministries and such. And that's been a blessing. And so we have several of those going out. And whatever's left after the 1st of June, we will, as a church, distribute the rest in one day. All right, so that's something that's coming up very soon as well. This Saturday, May 31st, we're having a park and trail cleanup. We wanted our kids to get involved in something too, and so we're picking up our bus kids and coming here, and then we're going to go out, and on all their little blue shirts, they're going to walk the trail together and carry little plastic Bethel bags that we give out at the fair, pick up the trash, and we'll go to a park and pick up all the garbage, and just let our community know that we're doing something in Simcoe. We need some adults to help with that. If you can help supervise kids, we'll have our bus workers there, as many bus workers that can come. We'd appreciate your help. And we're going to go out and do that. And we need some adults to help just to walk with the kids. We need some adults to help. We're going to bring them back and give them some cheap pizza after and a drink when they're done before we take them home. So we need some adults to come and show up and help with that. So 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, be here. It'll be a great blessing to you. You'll enjoy it. And anybody we come, if it's a nice day, of course, there'll be lots of people in the parks and on the trails, and we'll be handing them invitations to church and gospel tracts and such. And so it's a great opportunity to get out and serve our Lord. So get involved in Love Works. It's picking up steam now, and we're excited about one of the places we wanted to go said, "No, we don't want you to come." And so we have changed gears a little bit, and we started targeting some of the businesses that we associate with. And if you know about our broken down buses, we know Wilson's Truck and Trailer really well. And so we went down there today this week on their coffee break, and we took them a box of coffee. I call it a box of coffee, but it's actually two full pots of coffee in there, and cups, and cream, and sugar, and a dozen donuts. And I've never seen anybody so happy to get a donut. And he said, "This is just a real nice treat. Thank you so much." And then all the guys, you heard tools dropping as they came to get their donut before the other guy ate it, you know. And so it is a blessing to people just to know that as a church we're thinking about them and we want to be a blessing to them. And so we're doing that with some businesses in town as well now, and it's been very, very well received. And so that you know, you say, "Well, what if we don't get even one visitor?" Well, at least Simcoe knows that Bethel Baptist Church is still here. And we need to make sure that we are a part of our community and we are doing whatever we can to reach them for Jesus Christ. You know, it was interesting. I was in the sound booth for helping the kids with their rehearsal last week, and I noticed a little magnet on the electrical panel there, Brother Phil. You can see it right there, of the Rutherfords. And when they were heading out for the first time to start the church in Dundas, Isabel's about this tall, Brother Bill, just a little girl with big curly hair. And I saw that thing, and I thought, you know, right away, I just need to pray for the Rutherfords. So I just spent some time in prayer back there. And I took a picture of the little card and I sent it to Barry and said, "Hey, just reminded me to pray for you." Do you know that when our community gets a little card, a little invitation to church, they get a cup of coffee from us, who are they going to call when they need somebody for a funeral? Who are they going to call when they have a tragedy in their family and they need help? Well, we hope that they'll remember Bethel Baptist Church because we put something in their hands. We were a blessing to them. Just like that little prayer card helped me to remember to pray for the Rutherfords. And so let's get involved and let's get our name out there and let's do our very best to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing, and that's what it's all about, drawing people to Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 5 this morning,
Mark chapter 5. I've been talking so much, I never got my message out. So give me a second. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. Look at verse 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogues, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John and the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with them, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful and thankful to gather here in your presence today, and Lord, to be able to call you our Savior. Maybe there's some here today that don't know that relationship. They don't understand what it means to have a Savior. They maybe don't even realize that they need a Savior. The Bible is very clear that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. If anybody needs a Savior, it's a lost and dying soul on their way to hell. Father, help us to realize what you've done for us afresh and anew. Help us to realize that you sent your Son and he paid the price when he gave his life at Calvary and shed his blood to pay the price for our sins. Father, we are eternally grateful. Father, bless our time in your word this morning as we consider these that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you'd help guide me and direct me as I speak. I need your Holy Spirit's help and presence. Fill me, I pray. And Father, bless us as we hear the word of God preached. We pray that the Spirit of God would teach us. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, throughout the Gospels, we read of people that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were the sick, the hurting, the spiritually bewildered, even those who had lost someone to death. There's an interesting part of this scripture this morning about this leader of the synagogue that came. And he said this in verse 23. And he besought him greatly, saying, My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now, if you will read down in verse 35, the Bible says this, While he yet spake,
talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to this lady with the issue of blood, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further?" That's a bit of a strange statement. The reason it's a strange statement is because in the tense here, they are not informing the man that she is dead. They are implying, you already know she's dead, so why did you come over here to trouble the master? Your daughter's already dead, why are you troubling the master? Why do you keep nagging him? Why do you keep bothering him? Don't you realize it's too late? But the man didn't believe it. He said to Jesus, "My daughter lieth at the point of death." They said, "No, she's dead. Stop troubling him." And he said to the master, he says, "No, she's lying at the point of death." In other words, I still believe there's something you can do. I believe that you can turn this situation around. In this chapter alone, we read of this man, Jairus, who came to the master and he was in a state of desperation. Have you ever been there before? I would say it's likely true that almost everybody in this room has come to the Lord in a state of desperation at one point or another. There's been a bedside you've been sitting beside and you've been weeping and you've been praying and praying that God would do something miraculous. And you've come to the Lord in desperation like Jairus. Maybe like the woman with the issue of blood who had been plagued for 12 years and she'd been struggling with her health and just knew if she could just get to Jesus, if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. The Bible says in verse 21, when Jesus was passed over again by ship on the other side, look what it says, much people gathered unto him. Look at verse 24, and Jesus went with him and much people followed him and thronged him. At the beginning of the chapter, we read of the demoniac from Gadara who came running to Jesus out of the tombs. And the Bible says, first of all, he worshiped him. Then he says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth?" We read of the demoniac of Gadara. We read of Jairus, whose daughter was laying at the point of death. We read of this woman with the issue of blood. But we also read about a throng of people. In Mark chapter 5, in the year of his popularity, already, we cannot number the number of people that came to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? In just 44 verses in Mark chapter 5, 43 verses, we read of three individuals and we read of a multitude that thronged the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that the disciples were surprised when Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes? Who was it that reached through and touched me?" And the disciples said, "There's many people around." And yet so many people came to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's my contention today that even though so many people came to the Lord Jesus Christ, there was only a few that caught his attention. Now think about that. My Bible says in portions of Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. He wept over them. I believe with all my heart that there was people that Jesus healed that we never read about in the Scriptures. The very last verse of the book of John is one of my favorite verses in the Bible that said there's so many other works that Jesus did that I suppose the world itself could not contain the books if we were to write it all down. Jesus did so many wonderful things, but the Holy Spirit chose out of this multitude in Mark 5 to record three. Of those people, some came to Jesus out of desperation. Some came with demons like the demoniac from Gadara. Some came with diseases like this woman with the issue of blood. Some came with their desires. Have you ever spent time with the Lord and just given him your desires of your heart? It's a biblical principle. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants to bless us. And the Bible says we have not because we ask not. But I want to suggest to you today that the primary purpose in prayer is not so that we can give him a list of things that we want. That's not the primary purpose of prayer. I don't believe it's the primary purpose of prayer even to give God all the things that we need. Although we certainly do ask. I'm thankful for Romans chapter 8 says that the Holy Spirit searcheth our hearts, for we know not how we ought to pray. But he prays in the will of God. He knows what we need a whole lot better. So a lot of times it's better just to lay our burdens at his feet and let him meet those needs according to his will. Some come with their desires, some come with their disappointments. There's no doubt that there's some people here that have been let down. There were some that were in this multitude that thought, you know what, this religious leader has failed me, and this religious leader has no answer for my sickness, and this religious leader has not been able to guide me or help me in any way. But I've heard of one named Jesus. And so they've come to Jesus with all their disappointment. And there's some that have come with their defeats. But the point is this, they all came. No matter what the issue was, no matter what baggage they were carrying, they knew they could come to Jesus. They knew that they could come to Jesus. Now, let me suggest, every one of them had different baggage. How many of you have ever been to the airport? I made a mistake. I bought a suitcase to take my things in. You know, everybody's got a suitcase. I got a suitcase, and I got a black one. That's not a good idea at the airport. And so I'm thinking, okay, I got to watch my suitcase. And I quickly realized when I was out in Vancouver in February that out of 4,000 bags on an airplane, 3,990 of them are black. And so people get pretty creative. They put on these pink ribbons and they tie them on there and they do all kinds of things. I didn't do any of that. And so I waited and I waited and I waited. And every black bag that came by, I picked it up and flipped it over. Okay, that's not mine. I got some dirty looks because people thinking right beside me, thinking, that guy's grabbing my bag. Well, I didn't know. You know, they're all the same. Do you know that everybody comes to the Lord with baggage? But unlike a carousel at the airport, they all look different. Everybody's got something that they're carrying, whether it's disease or disappointment or defeat or demoniac, like the demons of the demon, whatever it might be, everybody's bag looks different. But can I tell you this? Here's the odd thing. Although all the bags at the airport all look the same to me, I'd be pretty disappointed if I got the wrong one. Can you imagine if I got back to my room and I opened up the bag and I pulled out a skirt? That'd be a mess, wouldn't it? Here's the thing about the baggage we carry. The bags all look different on the outside, but inside, they're all filled with sin. That's the difference. They come in different forms, they come in different sizes, they come in different shapes, and that's why people say, the Lord can't forgive me, I've just done some things that you don't understand, or you don't know about. Listen, you open that bag up, it's all the same sin. And Christ is sufficient to take care of all of it. The multitudes came to him. They all had different needs. Some were diseased. Some were disabled. Some were filled with defeat and disappointment. But every one of them knew that once they opened up their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, he could go in and take care of the sin. And he could take care of their problems. It's all the same on the inside. You know, a lot of times I don't want to discourage you from doing this. Don't take this out of context. A lot of times the first person we call when we have a problem is the preacher. The first person we ought to call is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary and Martha's brother was sick, and the Bible says the very next phrase, they sent for Jesus. That's who we need to turn to. It's not wrong to say, hey, pastor, could you pray for me? Hey, pastor, can we talk? Hey, pastor, can you put this on the prayer list for Wednesday night? We're happy to do that. The Bible says we are to bear one another's burdens, but our very, very, very first reaction ought to be, let's go to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we're living in a day and age, to be honest with you. We are living in a day and age where we just sit back and wait for the Lord to come to us. We just sit back and we say, okay, you know, the Lord will take care of this. The Lord will fix this. I want you to notice in the Bible that Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so Jesus did come to us, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. You have to come to Christ. You have to come to him. And by the way, for risking having a poor attendance tonight, The Bible doesn't say we come to church. It says we come to Christ. Jesus has come unto me. I want to tell you this, friend. If the Lord Jesus Christ can't fix your problem, the church isn't going to fix your problem. If the Lord Jesus Christ can't intercede for your needs, the preacher's not going to be able to help you. If your problem is too big for the Lord, you're in a lot of trouble. But there is a little scripture in the Bible that says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And Paul answers it a few chapters later when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can come to Jesus and you can trust him with all your cares and all your sorrows and all your needs and all your desperations and everything that is built up. But friend, can I say this? You remember the baggage illustration? Here's the real problem. The real problem is sin. The real problem is sin. We talk about all the things that are external and the things that are bothering us and the things that we are dealing with on the outside. But friends, the real problem is when we open it up and look inside is we have a sin problem. This lady, as she approached the Lord, the Bible says in verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Boy, there was something different about this lady. I'm not going to illustrate it in this way, but can you imagine this morning if I were to come down here and I were to say, all right, everybody, I want everybody in the room to come up here and just gather around and let's just get together and real tight. You know, I think if we were all to come up in this little space here, we'd probably be pretty crowded. I said, let's come up here, let's gather around, and we're all kind of shoulder to shoulder, and we're going, and if I were to say, who touched me? We'd think, well, the preacher's gone crazy. I mean, come on, he's surrounded with 150 people. What's going on? Does he not see what's going on? And Jesus, he's surrounded by, the Bible says, the multitude thronged him. I don't really even know what thronged means, but it sounds pretty big, doesn't it? It sounds like a lot of people, the multitude thronged about him. And as they're gathering around and they're shuffling and they're all trying, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, have mercy on me. And they're crying out and trying to get his attention. All it took was this little lady that just reached down and got the hem of his garment through the crowd. And Jesus stood up and said, who touched me? Let me ask you something. Of all the voices in the world today that are clamoring for Jesus, do you get his attention like that? Think about that. You say, oh, but Jesus just loves everybody and all I have to do. No, there was something different about this lady. There was something different about this lady. We are under the illusion today that God hears all of our prayers. But the Bible says if I regard iniquity in my heart, God doesn't hear me. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs, and it's coming to me, and I'm trying to think of it, and I'm going to have to paraphrase it for you. But it talks about if we have sin in our lives, even my prayer is an abomination. Even my prayer is an abomination. There had to have been something different about this lady and the way that she approached the Lord Jesus Christ that caused him in a multitude of people to sit up and say, hey, this one got my attention. There's something different about this lady. Listen, let me say this. You remember we talked about those that were the demoniacs and those that were diseased and those that were defeated and those that were desperate and those that, all the different needs. Listen, that tells me this, that Jesus casts a wide net. I'm not saying broad is the way, don't get me wrong. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul put it this way, I made all things to all men that I may win some. In other words, Jesus appealed in different ways to different people. If somebody said, if I were to say to Mrs. Took, do you know that Jesus can heal blind eyes? 2,000 years ago, that might not mean a whole lot to you because you're not blind. And so for the sick, though, that would mean a lot. And all of a sudden, blind people say, hey, I'm going to go see Jesus. If I were to say to Colton here, do you know that Jesus can heal leprosy? Well, you're pretty white looking, but I don't think it's leprous. But that might not mean a whole lot 2,000 years ago to you. But for somebody with leprosy, it sure would. For a guy named Jairus, whose daughter's lying at the point of death, it would sure be important to him to know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so Jesus cast this net out. And people said, well, I'm going to go to Jesus because I'm blind, and I'm going to go because I've got leprosy, and I'm going to go because I have a daughter that's dying, and I'm going to go because I'm sick of the religious system and I need to be set free from that. And there's others that say, oh, I'm going to go because I believe he's the Christ, the Messiah. So all kinds of people came for all different reasons. Do you know that everybody here has a similar testimony, but it's not the same? It's similar in the sense that we were all saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That when we get to heaven, I like that song. There's an old song. I think Brother Massacre's funeral, Al Massacre, Harry Strachan Jr. sang it. Look for me, for I will be there too. What a great song. And the second verse says this. It talks about when you get to heaven and you get to see all the sights. Look for me as well, because I want to hear how you made it through, how you got here too. But then the chorus talks about how our testimony is all the same. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. All we can boast about is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get to heaven, your testimony is the same. So it's very similar, but it's different in a lot of cases, isn't it? Somebody might hear say today, you know what, Pastor? I was a drunkard. I was a drunkard, and God saved me from the gutter, and if I didn't get saved, I might be dead today. Somebody else might say, well, you know, I was sick and I needed a touch from the Lord. And somebody came into my hospital room and they were praying with me and talking with me and got into the scriptures and showed me my need of a Savior. And I got saved and Christ helped me and healed me and strengthened me. Whatever your testimony is, maybe it's different than the one beside you. My testimony is not all that exciting. I got saved when I was 5 years old. I'm glad I got saved when I was 5 years old. You know, some people say, well, God saved me from this, that, and the other. I say, God saved me, then he kept me from this, that, and the other. And praise the Lord for that. I've never in my life smoked a cigarette. I have an idea that cigarettes smell like they, or taste like they smell. I've secondhand smoked a lot in my life. I didn't mean to. But I've never smoked a cigarette, and I don't say that, I say that to the glory of God. I went to a public school. I know what peer pressure's like. But praise God, God saved me some of those things. So my testimony may not be as exciting as yours. You want to hear Casey Fett's testimony of the ladies when you go to that meeting. Al Fury, I got saved when I was 5. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Next. It's not that exciting, but thank God he saved me. Our testimonies are similar, but they're all very different in another sense, aren't they? They're similar in that we're saved by grace through faith, but hey, what were we saved from? There was a multitude of people that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They all came for a different reason. But when you open up the baggage that they're carrying, what you find is it's full of sin, just like everybody else. There's a scripture that reminds us that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their what? That's why he came. That's why he came. We forget sometimes, I think. And because we forget, I think we become a carnal living people. Jesus is along for the ride. It's like a sidecar on a motorcycle. I'm so glad to have Jesus with me, and I'm so excited. And friends, be careful of carnal living. What happens when we begin to live carnally is that we will prefer entertainment and call it joy, rather than the conviction of Scripture. The Bible says that'll be true, by the way. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Preacher, just tell me a good story and tell me, our college professor used to call it a skyscraper sermon. A skyscraper is a story upon a story upon a story. Preacher, tell me a funny anecdote. Listen, I'm not against having fun. I'm not against making a joke. I want church to be the best place I can come. I want to have more fun in church than anywhere else. But listen, we don't substitute entertainment for edification. You say, are you against entertainment? I'm not against entertainment. I think there's a time and place for it. On Friday night, my wife, yesterday we celebrated, I didn't know we shared an anniversary, Mr. and Mrs. Felder, but I guess we do. Yesterday was our anniversary as well, our 20th yesterday. And so my wife, a few months ago, wanted to surprise me, so she got us some tickets for a gospel sing on Friday night. And so I'm not against entertainment. I enjoy it. I felt my foot tap. It did. It moved. I enjoyed it. As a matter of fact, you know the song that the choir sang this morning, Merciful to Me? My wife and I got our picture with the author of that song on Friday night. We happened to meet him. He was at the gospel singing. And so he wrote that song. And if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, he wrote that song. And so my wife and I got our picture with him. And that, I'm not against entertainment. But when we come to the house of God, we come to be strengthened and edified and told the truth of God's word. These people came to Jesus, and they had all kinds of baggage, but it was all filled with the same thing. When you got looking real down deep, it was sin. There was a man, the Bible says, that was sick of the palsy, and he laid there. It was a Sabbath day, and boy, the Pharisees didn't like Jesus doing anything on the Sabbath day. Do you know how Jesus healed him? He didn't say, rise up thy bed and walk, not initially anyway. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, the Pharisees didn't like that. He makes himself like God. He says, well, it's just as easy to say that as it says, take up thy bed and walk, and the man got up and walked. That must have really bothered him when they got up and walked. Cold-hearted religious group. But Jesus came to save us from our sins, to forgive us of our sins. Now, let's put this all together. Here's the point today. Jesus came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. But we need to understand that we also need to come to Him. Now, if I'm up here and I'm handing out, I don't have anything in my hand, but if I were to print a bunch of things off a printer and one said, well, I'm handing out a voucher here for the Fountain of Youth. The first person that comes and receives this gift from me, they're going to have energy. They're going to feel like they're 40 years old again. I mean, they're going to be able to run up mountains. They're going to be able to jump over lakes. They're going to be able to, I mean, they're going to have energy. And I've got one of these to give away today. Who wants it? Well, we'd come pretty quick, wouldn't we? Yeah? I used to say about my son Austin, when he was little, man, he had energy. And now he's a teenager and sleeps all the time, but he had energy. And I used to say, if I could take what he has and bottle it up and sell it at nursing homes, I'd be a millionaire. And you would. People would sign their houses over to you if they could just have some of that vigor again. If I could hand that, what if I were to hand out pass and says, I've got eternal life right here. I've got eternal life. Boy, you'd want that too, wouldn't you? What if I said, hey, I've got a healing pass here. Doesn't matter what you're sick of. You come and receive this gift, you'll be healed. You can go home, you can be cancer free. You can get your eyesight back. You can get your hearing back. You can be free from whatever. It doesn't matter. I'd get tackled up here after a couple of announcements, wouldn't I? I mean, honestly, we'd come. Do you know that's why the multitudes were just thronging to Jesus? Because he offered them something. But what if I said, hey, lost and dying sinner, come and confess your sins. Come and lay bare your soul before me. Come and get this sin problem taken care of. Come in all your filth and all your wickedness and all the deceitfulness of your heart. Come with all of that. Bring it right down here. I'll take care of that. Do you think people will be racing to get down here? Probably not. And you say, why? I mean, don't we want to be free from sin? Don't we want to have a short account with God? Don't we want to get cleansing? And our problem is our pride. If I'm blind, I'm going to go get all the help I can get. If I'm having some other health issue, I'm going to go see a doctor. But if we're sick from sin, if our souls are rotting and putrefying, do we keep short accounts with God? I want to show you something this morning about this lady. Why she caught Jesus' attention. Why she stood out from the crowd. Why she had a different relationship with the Lord. The Bible says in verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Isn't the scripture wonderful? The Bible doesn't say he looked around searching. He was scanning the crowd and wondering out loud, who? No, it says he turned around to see her. Jesus already knew, didn't he? It was specific. He turned around to see her. He wanted to know. He wanted to see her face to face. This was not for Jesus' benefit. This was for the disciples' benefit. He already knew who touched him. And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, look at that next phrase, thy faith hath made thee whole. So many of this multitude had been coming to Jesus to see, what can Jesus do for me? This lady came in faith. And of the multitudes of people that thronged him, there was only a couple that caught his attention. And it was one dear little lady who says, if I can just touch him, I'll be whole. And by faith, she did just that. Where is our faith? How big is it? Your faith has the potential. Now, we're flesh and we're sinful. I understand that. But our faith has the potential to be as big as our God, because it's only limited by what God can do. And so this woman came with the issue of blood, and the Bible says for 12 years, doctors, I like what it says. I'm not against doctors, but it says something about them, didn't it? She had suffered many things of many physicians. They had poked at her. They had prodded her. They had done test after test. They couldn't find the answer. But by faith, she came to Jesus. You remember I talked about that baggage and how people came for all kinds of different reasons? Here's a summary statement for you. It doesn't matter why you come to Jesus, but it does matter very much how you come to Jesus. It matters very much how you come to Jesus. This woman came in faith. The Bible speaks of another way we should come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should come with a contrite heart. Contrition is a deep awareness of one's own sin and a deep regret over that same sin. Let me ask you, is your heart broken when you sin? We're living in a day and age where the line has moved so much. By the way, the line has only moved in our minds. It has not moved in God's word. Things have become more liberal, and more tolerant now. As a matter of fact, if we stand up and say, well, we don't believe that abortion is right. We believe that's a sin against Almighty God, that it's murder of the unborn. The world laughs at you. They say, what kind of old-fashioned crazy are you? What kind of fundamentalist nut job are you? That's what they think of us. And it doesn't even have to be a major issue. By the way, if you were to stand up today and say, you know what, I don't think it's right. I think it's a sin. If you smoke marijuana, you're really going to get laughed at today. Oh, come on. Never hurt anybody. I'm not going to trust the opinion of somebody whose brain cells have been burned out by the stuff. The body's a temple. We are to be careful of how we are stewards over what God has given us. We need to come to Him in contrition, an awareness of our own sins. And though the line has moved for the child of God, we need conviction. We need the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And friends, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe a lot of us have seared consciences where we need to get back on our face before God and say, God, remind me of my sin. Remind me of Calvary. and come to him in contrition. The Bible says this in Psalm 34. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Isaiah says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah also said this, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Interesting that the scripture uses that word, trembleth. Because my Bible says that when this woman with the issue of blood was confronted by Jesus Christ, the word of God in the flesh, the Bible says she fell before him, trembling. The very words of Christ struck fear in her heart. I wonder today, do we feel like that? Do we understand what the Lord is saying to us when he speaks to our hearts about sin? Or do we push it away? Do we shun the Holy Spirit? Do we say, no, you know what, it's just a little bit. It's just a small problem. It won't be an issue. And then it grows. Our conscience becomes seared, and before long we are doing things we never thought we'd ever do before. It's interesting how things that our parents thought were wrong, no, they're no longer wrong anymore. The things that we are allowed to say. There are things that teenagers say today that I would have got my mouth washed out with soap before, and it's a social norm now. Well, we've come a long way, baby. Yeah, in the wrong direction. Profanity's still profanity. What has happened to us? What has happened to society? Sin has taken root. I don't know what it is that brings you to Jesus, but friends, open up your heart before him today in contrition. Be deeply aware that we are sinful before God. You say, well, preacher, I really want to see my friend saved. You need revival, and revival comes from contrition. Being contrite before God, pleading with God to save us from our sins. This morning, I was just reading my Bible. I was in Isaiah verse 59, or chapter 59. And I noticed this, and I thought, boy, that just speaks to us so well today. Listen to this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Isn't that sad? Well, Isaiah was preaching to some pagan nation. No, he was preaching to the house of Israel, God's chosen people. And they're wondering, why isn't God moving? Why isn't God working? And Isaiah says, God's hand's not shortened. This is not a limitation on God, and his ear is not heavy. It's not that he cannot hear you. Your iniquities have come between you and him, and your sin is the problem. You see, what is the difference between sin and iniquity? Sin is the act. When you go out and you rob a bank tomorrow morning, that's sin. That's the act of sin. When you are in the act, do you know what iniquity is? Iniquity is when it becomes a pattern in your lifestyle. God is not just concerned about your sins. He's also concerned about your iniquities, the things the Bible calls it in Hebrews a besetting sin. That thing that has become a pattern in your life and has taken hold of your heart. God says you need to get that out of there. Why? Because it has come between us and the Lord. It's separated us from God. Listen, friends, if we want revival, we need to ask God to search our hearts. I'm out of time. I'm on page 104. But let me give you one verse, and if I could remember the reference, I would give it to you, but I don't right here. Psalm 139, turn there with me. Turn to Psalm 139. We'll close with this. I am praying that God would awaken us to sin. Listen, you come to God with all your other needs. We come and we ask Him for all kinds of things. We ask Him for money. We ask Him for our provisions. We ask Him for a home. We ask Him for, some of you are praying for a wife or a husband. We pray and ask God for all kinds of things. Are you willing to lay your soul bare before Him with your sin? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm chapter 139, here's a prayer of David in verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in thy way everlasting. Do you know what struck me about that verse? David understood something about sin. He understood that if we can continue in sin long enough, that our consciences become seared. That's why I believe it says in Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 9, it calls it the deceitfulness of sin. We think we've got a hold on it, we think we can resist, and yet it deceives us. It takes over our lives. So David wisely prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. God, you're going to have to tell me. I just can't see it for myself anymore. I wonder if you're there. Can I say this morning in closing, and this is it. If you have not been convicted for sin, convicted of sin for some while, there's no doubt in my mind it's because your conscience is seared. You need to pray like David. Search me, O God, try my heart today. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, you have to tell me. I'm just not seeing it anymore. It's become so rooted and so part of my life that I can't even confess it. I don't even know what it is. It doesn't seem wrong. Because we have grieved the Holy Spirit of God. Would you pray with David today? God, show me my sin. Show me that I might have a relationship with you. It's the only thing standing between you and a holy God today. It's the only thing standing between you and revival. It's the only thing that's keeping you from experiencing abundant life and knowing God's blessing. It's sin. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word and Lord, how you can convict us. Father, we need to hear from you. Lord, we continue in our sin, and Father, I'm convinced that we need to at times back up and say, Lord, is there anything I'm doing that's wrong? I think we've come to be permissive and accepting of things that you would never dream acceptable in the life of a Christian. Father, I pray that we take some time to ask you, to seek you out today and find what it is that has separated us from God, what it is from keeping you from hearing our prayers, what it is that has come between us, and pray, Lord, that we would get it right with you. Father, you know our hearts anyway. Why shouldn't we just lay them bare? And Father, just revive our hearts today. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Altar's open even now. If God has spoke to your heart, would you step out and come? The old song says, I need thee every hour I need thee. Oh, precious Lord. Would you just take some time and pray like David? God, seek my heart out. What am I doing anything that's unacceptable in your sight? You might be surprised. Do you know, like the rich young ruler in the Bible came to the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, well, keep all the commandments, the law and the prophets. He said, this have I done from my youth. And Jesus said, there's one thing that thou lackest. Go and sell all thy goods and give it to the poor. The rich young ruler walked away discouraged because he had a lot. He had much, the Bible says. And Jesus, of course, was showing to him, you've not kept all the law. You're still coveting those things that you have in your life. You're guilty of breaking the law. There's a good principle there, isn't there? Sometimes we don't sacrifice and surrender to the Lord because we're afraid of what we might have to give up. We're afraid of what he might take from us. Is there anything on this earth that is too precious to you that you would not give it up for the Lord? You're not going to have the full blessing of God then. Abraham was willing to give his very son, Isaac, just so he could be obedient to the Lord. Where's your heart today? Let's pray. Brother Baker. Bless you. Thank you for being here today. Pastor McDonald was sick last weekend, and he got better through the week and came to work 2 or 3 days, and then last night it came back on his throat, and he's gone to the clinic this morning. His throat is really sore and closing up on him, so pray for him this morning as he's, some people got this cold for 3 days, and others have been getting it for 3 weeks, and so it's just been a real battle, this flu and cold that's going around, so be in prayer for him. All right, great night planned for you tonight. We're looking forward to Brother Heath being with us. And I remember he was on the way out just as I was coming in and graduating in May. And so at Christmas time that year, I had him speak at our New Year's. Sorry, it was New Year's. We had him speak at the New Year's. And I came home. My wife wasn't feeling well that night. And I came home. She says, "Well, how do you do?" And I said, "You know, I was really impressed. He did such a good job." And for a young preacher, I thought he's well ahead of a lot of the other young preachers, and so just so well organized in his thinking and his thoughts on the Bible. I think it'd be a real blessing to you tonight, so I want you to come and encourage him and support him, and then we have a fellowship after, and of course, Brother Vogel, Brad Vogel, preaching on Wednesday night, and so you'll want to be here for that. Don't forget all the Love Works programs this week, and I'm sorry, I'm not used to doing the announcements, so I forgot to bring a bulletin with me, so I hope you have your bulletins with you and open those up, and you can check on the rest of the announcements, and we'll update you on the rest of those tonight, but lots of things going on at Bethel, so be in prayer for the activities, be in prayer for our outreach, and for Love Works, and again, don't forget, tomorrow morning, there is a Love Works bag giveaway at the seniors' apartments, of course, with some information for them for different activities for the seniors in our church, and so you'll want to be a part of that. It's only 35 units. It's not going to take you very long. Come, and you'll be putting the bags together before you go. You'll go over there with the super. I have a feeling, I don't know why, but I just have a feeling we might be a bigger influence on the superintendent of the building than anybody else, because we're going to spend 45 minutes with her or so, and so you'll want to come and be a blessing tomorrow. All right, there's some other things going on. They'll be in your bulletin, and we'll announce them more tonight. Why don't we stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer? Am I missing anything important that I should announce? If somebody just wave at me if I am. No? Good. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brendan, would you close our service in prayer this morning, please?
Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord.